Now, this service, we want to look at you can have what you say. Hallelujah. And this is a follow-up to what I taught in the first service. In case you missed the first service, it's what God cannot change about you. And so it's the follow-up is what we are teaching in this service. You can have what you say. I can have what I say. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin used to say this, and he blessed my heart when he did. That what if everything you say comes to pass? Would you watch how you talk? No, that's something to think about. Would you love to record things you say during the day and listen to yourself at night? Maybe outside your evangelism, everything was against God's word. The only time you spoke God's word was when you were talking to others. You know, if you recorded the things you said and the things you thought, would you be surprised at the things you said when no one was there? So look at, you can have what you say. In Genesis chapter 1, that's the Bible for you, what we have as God's word to us. Moses writes and says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And he says in verse 2, and he says, the earth was without form and void, tohu-bohu in Hebrew means nothing. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God, Moses says, moved upon the face of the waters. And the first thing he says about God is, and God said. Now don't forget, in verse 2, he says the Spirit of God. In other words, what he couldn't see with his physical senses. He couldn't see God, because that's why he says the Spirit of God, which in the Hebrew is the Ruach of God, the wind of God, that which can't be seen but can be felt. He says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, which today can be interpreted the heart of man. Then he says, God said, let there be light, or light be. Notice he didn't say God thought. Notice he didn't say God felt. He says, God said, which means an utterance was made. And that statement was repeated not once. In fact, in verse 6, he says, and God said. In verse 9, it says, and God said. In verse 11, it says, and God said. In verse 14, it says, and God said. In verse 20, it says, and God said. And then in verse 24, it says, and God said. In regard to man, when he was going to make man, he says again, God said. Now, that means the Spirit of God and the Word of God are identical. To know the action of the Spirit of God will be the Word of God. So God's Spirit walks with God's Word, or God's Spirit is God's Word. And God's Word is not just a thought, it's not a feeling of God. God's Word is what God said. So God, therefore, is a speaking being. He has thought, he has plans, but he's primarily a speaking being. He speaks. And that is why the only revelation of God we have in the earth today is not a feeling, it's not a movement, is His Word. Now, why is that so? Why are we studying that? Is to see how God's power and God's will functions in the earth. Let us make man, He says, in our image after our likeness. Then He said, God said again. In chapter 2, it talks about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Moses begins to talk symbolically. He talks about the tree, two trees, in verse 16 and 17. Talks about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. Then he says, if you eat of this. Now, to eat doesn't mean to put your teeth here on a physical fruit. The word to eat already shows the use of your mouth. Now, when scripture talks about your mouth, when it talks to eat, and it's talking about spiritual realities, it's referring to your words. So, when you say to eat, it's not saying when you eat fruit or mango, then you... that's not what it's referring to. Those are symbolical things. When you talk about trees, you talk about a man's life. When you talk about fruit, you talk about the result of it. And so, when you talk about the mouth, what you eat is actually what you say. So what you say, and today we can say also what you believe. So words ran Genesis. Words, right at the very beginning. What God said and what man said. What God said and what man said. What God said and what man said. Pay good attention. In chapter 2, And then in chapter 3, we now find man's actions predominantly in chapter 3. The first action of Satan as well was that Satan said. So that means activities in the earth are run by words. As insignificant as we think words are, you know, we always say it's easier said than done. But the truth is, that's how God made it. It's to be said to be done. The earth runs with words. That's why when somebody is nameless, it's either is unknown. You've got to have a name. We say something, then you respond. Just sometimes you walk on the road and don't say, that man, and you turn back. Why did you turn back? Because you are programmed to respond to words. Hey, you look around. You know, things like that. Something's happening. They didn't talk. They didn't mention your name. You start to run. Because we respond to words. Our minds respond to words, whether consciously or unconsciously. So the activities of man in the earth are run by words. Pay good attention. In chapter 3, the first thing Satan, who we know now is the serpent. Alright? The serpent there is not in the zoo. The serpent is a spiritual being. In Revelation 12:9, is called the devil. Revelation 12:1, 12:9 is called the devil. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2 and 3, is called the devil. That's the devil. The devil is in there. John 8:44, you have your father the devil in the beginning. You know, that's the same truth. The serpent there is the devil. But notice the first walk of Satan. Subtly, that's the word. Subtly means unnoticed. And many times we accept words on our heart unnoticed. I've seen people fight things they heard when they were young for many years of their lives. And they are fighting one addiction, fighting one impression they've been given about themselves. Why? Because of words spoken. Most of the time, what causes unforgiveness are also words someone said. And certainly they frame in our hearts. In Genesis chapter 3, we find Satan's first activity in the earth. Serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, that's the first thing that he does. So what he will say will be subtle and sometimes, many times, unnoticed. As God said. So Satan's actions from the beginning is to doubt the integrity of God's word. As God said. Of course, the woman replied also by words. Notice again, Satan said and she said. Satan said and she said. Satan said and she said. So when it comes to Satan's work and its antics in the earth, it's a function of what you say. What you say will either elongate Satan's wisdom or shorten it. You see, every time Satan drops a thought or suggestion, and what you say afterward is not God's word, he continues to talk. Because he already knows you are either ignorant or unwilling to do God's word. So your words are important. Notice, Satan did not think, Eve did not think, they both said. Okay? Satan said, remember, God said, Genesis 1, God said, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Satan spoke. So God's word will not paralyze Satan's activities till you put God's word on your own lips. God won't handle Satan for you where you are unwilling to put his word on your lips. Look at what Eve does. She responds in ignorance. She says, we shouldn't touch it. And Satan now responds and says in verse 4, you shall not surely die. In other words, he says exactly opposite of what God said. And today, write this down, there are religions built contrary to God's word. What Satan says here is still being said today. There are religions, there are movements, there are people, there are discoveries that are said exactly opposite of what God has said. In all of this, it's still a battle of who said what. So here we are. God spoke, Satan spoke, and man spoke. It's still how the earth is run today. God spoke, Satan speaks, and man still speaks. And notice that obviously Eve spoke words of uncertainty. In other words, he says this, and we'll write this down. Doubt, fear, sin, faith are all in words. Doubt, fear, sin, faith are all in words. There is no sin you have committed did not start with words. Words spoken to you, words you read, words that you said. God spoke, Satan spoke, and the woman spoke. And you notice that Eve walked on in a lot of uncertainties. You know, notice something. Afterwards that they fell, let's use that phrase, herself and Adam in man. And then in chapter 3, God says the seed of the woman shall bruise the head of a serpent. And just Genesis 3:15. And the seed of the woman, the seed shall bruise the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, in chapter 4, Eve acts the same way. She had a son. The son was Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Again, she assumes that that is the promise fulfilled. Until Cain died, was when it dawned on her, she walked in assumption. God does not control what you say. She said it in all ignorance. She said in all uncertainty. That wasn't what God meant. Obviously, the person God was speaking about in Genesis 3:15 was Jesus Christ. And she assumed. And that's why when you read the Bible, there's a lot of genealogy. Genealogy. Why is there genealogy in Scripture? And it stops in Jesus. Why? Because the genealogy was to find out who God was speaking of in Genesis 3:15. As soon as it got to Christ, genealogy stops in the Bible. The essence of genealogy is to find the seed of the woman. That's why you have begat, begat, begat. As soon as it got to Christ, genealogy ended because that is God in man. Are you still there? And so he again assumes, she calls Abel Cain, thinking one of them, Cain precisely, is God's will. So your words really express your heart. Express your ignorance, your knowledge, your doubt, your fears. And also express sin. Words aren't as harmless as you think. Words are not as harmless as you think. Words carry more than many of us think. Look at Genesis chapter... Okay, I've read chapter 3 and 4. Just want to run through Genesis. Again, in Genesis chapter 6, God wants to do something in the earth. Man has obviously fallen into sin, and there's a whole lot of rebellion towards God. And he says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Olam din. That is, I will continually be pleading with man. His days on earth shall be 120. 120 there means 120 years of pleading with man, not 120 years of living on the earth. In other words, by saying that, it simply meant that Noah was going to preach for 120 years. From the point that was said in Genesis 6:3 to the point Noah entered the ark, it was 120 years. 120 years of Noah preaching. Go to 1 Peter 3. He preached. Again, Noah was announcing. God wanted to change the course of justice and judgment in the earth, and what you can call Satan's work. Again, he uses words. He used words earlier to speak to Adam and Eve. He uses words to communicate to Cain and Abel. And again, he uses words to communicate his will. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, or the spirits that are now in prison. He's talking about Noah. Why do you mean by spirit, by which here? It means Noah. Chapter 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets, Noah is one of them, have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. This is what is happening in 1 Peter 3:19. By that Spirit Noah now goes to preach unto the spirits which are now in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God, that's the 120 years, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved. So, what was Noah doing in the long suffering of God? Noah was preaching. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. A preacher of righteousness. Quickly go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world by preaching, and became heir of righteousness, of the righteousness which is by faith. So in the earth, God makes his will known by preaching. By preaching. Genesis 11, Abraham believed God. It was Genesis 15, sorry, verse 6. It was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. What do you mean by Abraham believed God? Believe what? Galatians 3:8. The gospel of God was preached before through or to Abraham. The gospel. Words. Words. God's will in the earth? Words. Satan's will in the earth? Words. So God's word doesn't just come to pass. God's will doesn't just come to pass, as we say. It's put on the lips of man. In fact, in Romans chapter 4, a verse we'll probably come back to, Paul summarizes Abraham in these following words. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's quoting Genesis 17:5. Then he says, before him whom he believed, God, who quickeneth the dead, watch this, and collect those things which be not as though they were. Now the arguments over who he's talking, is it God or Abraham? I teach it's Abraham. But if it is God, then act like God. Hallelujah. He calls the things that be not as though they were. He calls the things that be not as though they were. He calls the things that be not. See the beginning of what he says. He calls. He calls. And you know, Paul is right. Because when there was darkness, he said, light be. He calls the things that be not as though they were. God is not realistic. God speaks his word. So he calls the things that be not. Look at what he means by that. Who against hope believed in hope? Abraham now. Against hope believed in hope. In other words, in the flesh, there was nothing to expect. Yet he had an expectation. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Can we take verse 19 together, everybody? And being weak in faith, let's take it together, let's go. And being weak in faith, let's take it together. And being weak, oh, sorry. So you got, your attention is here. Let's go. And what? And being weak in, I got you now, let's go. And being weak in, okay, but let's go. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Look at that. He considered not. We'll come into that shortly. He considered not. Let's take verse 20. Let's go. He staggered not through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. How did Paul know all this? Did he read Abraham's mind? He heard what he said. Hallelujah. Did Paul read his mind? No. Paul didn't read his mind. Because the mind of Abraham wasn't written by any angel. Angels don't know your mind. Paul read what Abraham said. So, Abraham not considering his own body was by the words that he said. The things that he said. So that means God spoke, then Abraham spoke. God spoke, then Abraham spoke. God speaks so that you can have what to say. Did you hear what I just said? God speaks so that you can have what you see. God's word is to be your word. God's word is to be your word. God spoke, Abraham spoke. If God spoke and Abraham spoke something else, what God spoke will never have come to pass. God spoke, then Abraham spoke. And Abraham said what God said. Don't forget. So faith, doubt, unbelief are expressed in words. They are expressed in words. Thinking on the word is good. Speaking the word is important. Keep speaking the word is important. Is that what they say today? Alright. Keep speaking the word. Imagine if you saw Abraham at that time, he said, I'm a father of many nations. You'll have looked at him like old age senility or something. You feel he's crazy. Years ago, went to a doctor, and doctor said to me, they had this disease that couldn't be cured. And he said, it's so, and went to long story. As I was saying, he said, I'll be healed. And then he said, you don't understand what I... Interestingly, I saw the doctor, I was on my way out of the country 2 weeks ago, I think. I saw him at the airport. As I greeted him, he was trying to check in or something. No, he was trying to do something because he wasn't traveling immediately. So I saw him, I said, oh, how are you doing? I said, still alive. That's a key word. I said, oh, you know, that was my doctor for years. It's 98, in the 80s. So I said, I'll be fine. I'll be healed. Say, you don't know what I'm saying. Say, no, you don't understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. You don't keep quiet. No, you don't keep quiet. You put God's word on your lips, even though there's a contrary circumstance. I said, I'll be back in 2 weeks. Of course, I didn't go back in 2 weeks. Some of you were there when that happened. I didn't go back in 2 weeks. I went back a couple of weeks after, and I was checked and I was fine. Praise God. Then you put God's word on your lips. It's not for evangelism alone. We'll come to that in a moment. It's not to share. It's not for LMA assignments or study group assignments. It's for your own lips. Hallelujah. It's for your own lips. Put it on your own lips. Are you there? So, that means God said, but Abraham's body was saying something else. God said, Abraham's doctor was saying something else. God said Abraham's feelings were saying something else. God said Sarah's body was saying something else. I won't forget one time. I had this woman who came to me. The husband had a low sperm count. I don't even know what it is. I didn't try to ask the medical meaning. I was telling someone the other day. I said when Jesus was ministering to the sick, he didn't say what is the medical condition, actosis, lactosis, is caused by so, so, and so, and so, and so. He wasn't even a letter to even know what you're talking about. But he knew the power of God. Hallelujah. So she told me, low sperm count is caused by so, so, and so, and so, and so, and so, and so, and so. I just showed her a scripture. And I showed her Hebrews 11. Sarah herself. She said, this is Sarah herself? She said, yes. I said, what did the doctor say? He said, well, the sperm is not strong enough to fertilize what? Your own womb. I said, well, your eggs. I said, well, you make your eggs strong enough to take its own sperm. That's what I told her. And she got pregnant the next month. Hallelujah. I told someone 2 days ago, the moment you start to mystify supernatural things, you start to see a height in what you're doing. Take it naturally. Just say it naturally. Don't say, I want to speak God's word now. Oh, sorry. I'm about to say it now. No. Just say what God says. It comes just as easy as you laugh. That's why I said, your womb can now take, or your eggs can now take his sperm. And I think she had to touch out now. This was in 2003. 2003. Is it 3 or 4? Remember the lady I'm talking about? 2003, 4, 1 or 2 years. You know, the husband was the chief treasurer of one of these banks in Nigeria. He spent all the money. I said, divine health is free. The only money you will spend is to celebrate. Hallelujah. It's got no side what do you call it? Symptoms. Or, you know, when you get some drugs, you say side effect. You will itch for 8 days. There was somebody who brought his drugs to me, and he said that there will be signs of, what do you call this thing? Illusion. But don't be scared. I said, is this not more stressful than having hands laid on you? He said, sir, pastor, I know, but what do I do? You are still asking. They are already telling you, you're my own man. And you are still saying, pastor, what do I do? Go and do it. Hallelujah. I put God's word above the words of men. Hallelujah. You get the point. Put God's word first. Put his word first. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Someone told me a couple of weeks back, last year actually, the wife put the bed. The child was lost during the delivery. So he spoke to me and said, sir, I'm just down and out. And he said, what do I do? Pray. I said, we're not praying. So we're not praying. I said, I know it's too early to do what men do. Give her 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, overcome the world. Hallelujah. Said, you get my message. I got your point. They put to bed 2 days ago. Hallelujah. 2 days ago. And I said, please don't put it on Facebook. Because some of you, even in the rapture, you put it on Facebook. Hallelujah. You put God's word first. God's word first. God's word first. You know, God's word is in a battle in our lives over many things we hear. Many things we hear. Some of us are professional doubters. That means your profession has trained you to doubt God's word. So, as a career person, you doubt God's word. Your career is to doubt God's word. I'm not mentioning anybody, but you are already trained to doubt God's word. Yeah, you are. But you know, before you are anything, you are born of God. Hallelujah. You're born of God. You're born of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Told a friend of mine back then. She said, my friend. She said, you know, we have to do this test. I said, can your test detect the power of God? She said, what do you mean? Can you use that your machine to see the Holy Ghost in me? She said, no. She said, what then can you see? Hallelujah. You can't see the Holy Ghost. I can't see the power. Now, so stay with your own. You are still making research. God's word is settled. You are still researching, right? No. There's no research here. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. So God said, I say. God said, I say. Glory to God. See, it doesn't matter how many people have claimed to do the word and it worked for them. You put the word on your lips, glory to God, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. It will come to pass. Glory to God. It will come to pass. Because that's what God says. So God says, and I also speak. See that there? The light of Proverbs, that's Solomon, in Proverbs 18:21. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. When it says the power of the tongue, it doesn't mean your tongue has power. Power of the tongue are in words spoken. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, what does he mean by that? I'll tell you. It means you can speak life or death. It doesn't mean you can kill. That's not what he's saying. Your words can contain words of life, and it can contain words of death. In Moses' words, that's condemnation, the spirit of life, or the spirit of, or the law of the spirit of life in Christ, Jesus, the law of sin and death. So your words really can express doubt, and they can express faith. They can express unforgiveness and forgiveness. They can express healing and sickness. You know, they can express destroying people's reputation and blessing them. They can bless, they can curse. In other words, you determine what you say. Don't say, I didn't know when I said it. You actually knew when you said it. Because there's no word that comes out of your mouth that doesn't first come to your heart. So you permitted yourself to say those things consistently. Now, there was a time, and I needed it in my life, that I didn't use to joke at all. Now, I joke a lot today, I know. But there was a time, I needed it so badly that I wasn't going to joke with anything. In fact, if you had heard a teaching I taught years back in the 90s, curses, riddles, and jokes. Have you heard it before? Curses, riddles, and jokes. First started in 1996, then 2001. Curses, riddles, and jokes. Take your joke seriously. Don't say things, even if you are going to joke, don't say something that is contrary to God's word. You don't joke with the integrity of God. You say what God has said. You say how He said it. You say why He said it. And I needed it at that time. I needed to speak God's word all the time. See, some people, they're standing against maybe a sickness, a disease, or challenge, or maybe a habit in their life. And they still spend time watching movies. They're not serious-minded people. You have enough things you're battling in your mind already. You're introducing more demons. Most people who act movies and those things, they're not led by the Spirit of God. They will say things contrary to God, or sometimes they will laugh over it. They will joke about prayer. They will joke about casting out of demons. They will joke about divine healing. I told a guy one time, just this week, he put out something on Facebook about one caricature like that that was trying to raise the dead and then did stop. I said, you know what? You're not smart. Don't help the devil show this counterfeit. It will defeat the confidence of believers in the supernatural. You don't post things like that. You don't even read it. Praise God. You need healing in your body. You are watching false miracles. Don't be stupid. Read God's word. And when you see that video, say, God raises the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Eutychus from the dead. He still raises the dead today. Hallelujah. That's what you ought to say. Don't allow the wall in his mockery of God. I tell people, don't criticize miracles. You don't know when you need one. And don't we need miracles some very delicate moments of our lives? You put the word on your lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So my communication, even amongst men, must be determined by God's word. Did I speak God's word? Did I say what God said? Or did I say how I felt? Even when people annoy you, as it were, say what God said. Say what He said. If you want to walk in love, walk in victory over sin, it will start with what you're saying. Say the right thing. A fellow came to me a couple of weeks back in this service and said, "Sir, I've been battling this sin." I said, "Change what you have said." Said, "What do you mean, sir?" I said, "Change what you have said. You're not battling sin. You're free from it." Hallelujah. Say, "I've overcome sin. I want to walk in that victory." Simple. Don't make sin look like the winner. It can't win. Praise God. You win. Don't make sin look like the winner. Don't give it a false robe. You win. Hallelujah. You win. So don't say, "I'm battling, I'm struggling." You are not struggling. Praise God. You win. You don't struggle with cigarettes. You don't struggle with drugs. No, you don't struggle with homosexuality. You don't struggle with masturbation. No, the point of God. Hallelujah. You win. Glory to God. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcome the world, even without faith. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6 verse 14, "Sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under the law, for you are under grace." Hallelujah. How shall we continue to sin? The grace we are bound, God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? As many have been baptized, you have been baptized into his death, and you are raised together in the likeness of his resurrection. Can I have an amen? That's what you have to say. You don't need a psychologist.
You know the therapist? No guidance counselor can help you. You have been helped already. You have been helped already. You need no magazines. You have been helped already. You need no videos. You have been helped already. Glory to God. You are born of God. You are led by the Spirit of God. You are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. Nothing can defeat you. Nothing can defeat you. Someone asked me earlier this morning, he said, what's your greatest motivation? I said, years back, I just knew I can't be defeated. I knew. So, Pastor Hagin, not Brother Hagin, his son, Pastor Hagin, is not Hagin Jr., he's 80 years this year. If he's Junior, how old is your father? He said, his greatest motivation, I read the book of his in 2000. Said, I can never be defeated and I will not quit. And I said to myself, from today, this is my motivation in life. I can never be defeated and I'll never quit. You'll find me there. I'll wait till the end. The end is when I win. Hallelujah. There's something in the life of God that doesn't give up. In the life of God that does not give up. We don't try and try and try. No, we stay till we win. You must say the right things. Say the right things. See, I'm going to talk about this later. Apart from things coming to pass, faith honors God. Putting God's word on your lips honors God. It means you honor God above what you have seen. You honor God above what you heard. You honor God above how you feel. In John, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your notes, out of your tips. No, out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate in that. You can't meditate without speaking. Meditation is active when you speak. About years ago, some folks went to report to my dad. Said, there's something wrong with your son. So what is it? He's always talking. Was I talking to them? Say, he's always talking on the road. Because I wasn't talking. But many times, even to you today, I've reduced it now. People would just greet me. Like, they thought I was greeting them. Say, how are you? Then I would say, good morning. They look back, yeah. What were you now saying before? Because I'm just speaking. Glory to God. Went to see a preacher some 21 years ago. We organized a meeting. He didn't come. And he went around town and said he didn't come because we're preaching false doctrine. That's what he said. We're preaching eternal salvation and extreme new creation realities. He was such a powerful preacher in the city then. And I was a young man. Young. I mean, when I say 21 years ago, I was a young man. And so when he said that, I left his office. He had my invitation letter and the flyers were all over town. And so another person said, I just hope your generation will receive you because they've rejected you. You know, I prayed for Kenneth Hagin. Hallelujah. I said, thank you, sir. I stretched my hands and collected our ID. I said, we'll be fine, sir. I walked out of his house. He leaves the Oluyole estate. And I stayed in Bodija. And I began to walk home speaking. I just spoke. I said, 1999 I called you out. 2000 I called you out. 2001 I called it to 2060. I said the word of God will go around. I preach Jesus all over the world. I'll be received. I'll preach the gospel all over the world. Men will arise from this ministry all over the world. It's coming to pass. Hallelujah. It's coming to pass, right? You don't keep quiet. Meditation has to be active. You don't say, my God, where are you? Oh, is that where you see? They ask you stupid questions. Where are you? Is it heaven? Put God's word on your lips. I began to walk. I was walking. Years later, the same man we met, and he apologized. I said, sir, you don't have to apologize. It only made me believe God's word more. Don't apologize. It's fine. He's fine. Praise God. No need to apologize. He now uses our materials to train his ministers. So I've been accepted finally. Not because I had sincerity. No. Sincerity. Who's sincerity help? You better put God's word on your mouth. Say, I'm sincere. And I'm sincere. And I love God. No, romance the Lord. You better put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. And begin. It strengthens your resolve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Day and night, Joshua said about the book of the law, which is not the New Testament anyway. Psalm 1 verse 1. See, there was a Muslim classmate of mine, not born again. He had diabetes. Muslim diabetes. So, in fact, it was involved in one health program like that. So he told me about it. I said, you know what? You can actually get healed of it. He said, hey, how? I said, well, I'll give you a therapy that's, you know, you don't have to walk. I said, you know, Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ, I know. He said, well, we believe so and so and so. I said, fine. Jesus Christ, he's a healer. And he just misused me. I said, you see, you don't have to even be a Christian. He said, good. So I said, keep speaking the word. Keep speaking the word. Just keep saying, Jesus Christ heals me. Jesus Christ heals me. The power of Jesus Christ heals me. You know, you don't have to believe he's the Son of God. Just say he heals me. That's all you have to believe. He said, okay, that's all. That's all. I said, that was a meeting we had. It was 2017, I think. He told me late last year, he said, see, I've done checks. I'm no longer diabetic. He said, my wife thinks it was wrong diagnosis. I said, not wrong diagnosis. You got healed. Hallelujah. She said, when that therapy works, that speaking, I said, whatever you call it. You now find believers. I don't know. Maybe it's God's will. No, it's God's car. It's not will, it's theory. Put God's word on your lips. Psalm 1 verse 1, understand the way of sinners. If the light is in the law of the Lord, in this law, it meditates day and night. What's day and night? Every time. There is no season you should not meditate on the word of God. Told you in the morning, the first service. There are irrefutable facts of who you are. You say it all the time. You say it all the time. Day and night. It's the Hebrew word agar. Agar means to roar out loudly. When a Jew is meditating, you hear what he's saying. You hear him. He will take the Torah and shout, and you hear him. If you don't want, go away. When I speak God's word, why are you uncomfortable? Are you the enemy? Let me share a joke, a story. Years back, we had a program in 1995 called The Rivers of Joy. Miracles Extraordinary. So my friends, you know, we're very rascally guys, you know. So we launched that Oriwu Hotel in Ikorodu then. It used to be the 5-star hotel in Ikorodu. And so we stayed in the presidential suite. We paid 250 naira per night or something. Or 300, something, nothing. But it was much money because we had to believe for the money. So, and it was a week program. So we will come back at night and we'll just come together and speak God's word, praying the Holy Ghost, and we'll do it for 2-3 hours. So the hotel staff now came. So you guys are disturbing everybody. I just opened the door. We paid for ourselves, we paid for our character. This is our character. Don't do kind of things, don't do those kind of things. But we're very loud. You shout it out. Praise God. When the thought comes to your head, are you sure this isn't cancer? Say, no, I'm healed by the power of God. You say, they'll say, eh? Eh? They remember a story you read in the news. See you. You said, no way. God's power is working in this body. Effectively healing and a cure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you sure this isn't God's power is working in this body? Effecting a healing and a cure. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in this church we had a miscarriage. And he came to me, he said, Pastor, so I said, no problem. There's another time. He said, We have another one. So that's all. So we're not praying. Let's just listen to me now. So we're not praying. What are we praying about? Father Lord Jesus, we commend this womb and for what? How God is working. All the prayer meetings you have been praying is not in vain. It's to strengthen you. Now put the word on your lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm fruitful in my body. I'm fruitful in my mind. I'm not confused. I'm not intimidated. Glory to God. I told you in the morning, no believer has a right to have low self-esteem. You don't have a right. You don't have a right. The right to have low self-esteem has been taken. You rejoice in Christ. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? In the four Gospels, here's Jesus. In Mark 11, he speaks to a tree, and then they came to him and said, Lord, or Master, the fig tree that you spoke to has dried up. Then he says, have faith in God, Mark 11:22, or have the faith of God. For verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever that he says. He uses the word say three times and believe just once. He shall say and not doubt, and shall believe that what he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Matthew chapter 8. A centurion, don't say a centurion. He comes to Jesus. He said, Master, my servant lied home sick. Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus says to him in verse 7, I will come home and heal him. The man said, you don't have to. I'm not worthy that thou should come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Then he drops these words. You can't teach believers authority without these words, without this all important statement. And you know, we don't quote unbelievers. But why are we quoting this fellow? Because Jesus commended what he said. He said, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this, go, and he goes. Say to another, come, and he comes. And to my master, do this. And he doeth it. To my servant, so I do then he doeth it. Jesus heard it, and he marveled. Jesus marveled only two times in the four Gospels. He marveled at great faith, and marveled at great unbelief. Here, Jesus marveled and says here, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. In other words, your words express your authority. Your assignment doesn't express your authority. Your reading the book doesn't express your authority. Your being in church doesn't express your authority. Your knowing the explanation doesn't express your authority. Your teaching others doesn't express your authority. What expresses your authority are words. Put your authority in words. In other words, that same hour, his servant was healed. Why? He put faith in his words. Your words are empty. You fill it with the kind of character you want it to have. You can fill your words with hate or love. You can fill your words with faith or doubt. You can fill your words with fear or hope. You can fill your words with bitterness or blessings. You choose the character of your words. You choose the character of your words. That is why you must know what you are saying. You must know what you're saying. I've done this test for some of you before. Carry around a Walkman or a recorder and listen to how you talk throughout the day. At the end of the day, play it to yourself. That is who you are. How you talk, how you respond. I know by the time you put the recorder in, you'll be careful. You don't want to hear the awful things you will say.
Things you say when there's rough driving in your Lagos. Things you say when the rain is about to rain. Things you say when the car goes bad. Things you say when you go to the bus station and it's not clear, the queue is long. Things you say in the office, you didn't meet the deadline. Things you say when your contractors have a problem with you. Things you say when your car goes down. Things you say when you couldn't get that money to pay. Things you say when there's pain on your leg. Things you say when thought comes to your mind. Things you say when the phone call comes and give you bad news. Things you say, record it. And see how you respond generally in life, whether it's by the word or by your feelings. Are you still there? Jesus said, you will have whatsoever you say. And so this man says what Jesus will do. He knew Jesus' authority had to do with words. In Luke 7, a prostitute comes to Jesus. And that prostitute begins to kiss his feet, specifically his feet, don't forget that. And rubs her hair on his legs, and has she's crying and all that. And people come around and say, what's this man? Is this man the prophet of God? Would he not know this is a sinner? Then he responds and gives a parable. The disciples were all there. But my point is, in Luke 7, Jesus didn't just leave the woman. He heard what they said. He knew they called her a sinner. He knew they called her names. Luke 7 from 36. And he says to her in verse 48, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Why did he have to say it to her? Because she needed to hear it. God's word is communicated, God's love by words. You bring it up kids, or you follow people up for Christ, or you have friends. Learn to speak God's love to people in words. Thank God for deeds. But you see, words come before deeds. Say it. Your sins are forgiven. God loves you. You are prized of God. Say that often to your kids, more than you say other things to them. You know, God communicates His words or His love to us in words. He says, your sins are forgiven. In John chapter 8, a woman caught in the act of adultery was brought to Jesus by men, hypocrites. They didn't bring the man as it was self-done. And so, they bring the woman. And it says, he who has no stone, no sins, was same thing. Then cast the first stone, from the greatest to the least, they all walked out. Then he says, woman, where are your accusers? And then she says, they are all gone. Did anyone condemn you? She said, no. Neither do I condemn you. He had to say it. Because, hear me, condemnation has to hear God's word. Doubt has to hear God's word. Feeling sorry has to hear God's word. Feeling down has to hear God's word. You must address the feeling. You must address the situation. Neither do I condemn you. Go and see no more, he says. I am the light of the world. He that follows me will walk in darkness, verse 12, but shall have in himself the light of life. In Luke 5:20, he meets some folks who brought him a man who is paralyzed, and he says, he saw their faith. And he says to them, Luke 5:20, your sins are forgiven. Why did he have to say it? He has to say it because you can only communicate God's will by words. You have to say it. You have to put it on your mouth. You have to say it. He sends his disciples out in Matthew 10 and he says, go and say to them, the kingdom of heaven is here. Why? Well, the kingdom is already here. Why must he tell them? Because it will take words for it to come to pass. Why do we preach the gospel? If God's will can happen with our words, I don't have to preach. But why do I preach? The sinner will have to hear it. And he will have to say what I'm saying. In other words, God's will in the earth comes to pass by words. You must prize your words. You must prize your words. You must place premium on your words. And I know that people in this room, in this auditorium, who have gone loose in their words. You're going to lose in your words. And just like sin and iniquity is a little here, a little there, and gradually, The carefulness, faithfulness with which you spoke God's word has dropped over the years. It won't get better till you change. You've got to change how you speak. You've got to change what you say with your mouth. Follow this. So, he says, go and say. Doubt and fear are in words. Doubt and fear are in words. Let's look at three good examples. We're seeing in the four Gospels. In Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Sorry, 14. Jesus, you know the story, Peter is on the boat, and he says, Master, if it is you, bid me to come on water. In verse 28. And he says, come. And Peter began to come. He began to come. And he's walking on the water. And he's going to Jesus. Then verse 30 says, he saw the wind boisterous. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Beginning to sink, he cried. Why? He's responding, you know, he's responding to what he saw. In other words, what he saw became what he said. And Jesus says, oh, of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? God cannot stop doubt. You are the one that will stop doubt. You are the one that will stop seeing God's word as secondary to what you see and what man says. Mark 4. He was in the boat with them, Mark 4, and then they cried because there was again a tempest, a storm. And then they cried, Master, Mark 4:38, care us not that we perish. He said, peace be still. They said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? How did he know in those two instances that they were of no faith? Because he heard them speak. If I stay long with you a day, I will know whether you live by faith or you live by doubt. You see, it's not about quoting scriptures, pay attention, and it's not about teaching people alone. It's about what you say. What you say. What's your response? How do you speak? Do you put God's word on your lips primarily? Primarily. Some say, well, I'm just being realistic. Well, if you're being realistic, then you're not being spiritual. You have to put the word first on your lips. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, take no thought, Matthew 6:31, saying, in other words, don't worry, saying, doubt and unbelief will die unborn until they are spoken. Until you give the doubt an expression in words, it has no power. My words give fear power. My words give doubt power. Take no thought saying. Take no thought saying. In other words, don't take the thought, then say it. In other words, worry is to take the thought. To take the thought. Saying. Before he said that, in Matthew 6, he had said in verse 9, when you pray, say. This is what you say. It doesn't mean to repeat what he said. It just means to watch what you say. So, in the four Gospels, we have lessons of Christ relating with people. And he talks about what they said. Doubt is still wrong. Fearful speaking is still wrong. If you say what Peter said in the four Gospels, you are still fearful. If you say what the disciples said in Mark 4, you are still fearful. If you have condemnation in your heart today, say what Jesus said to that woman. Say God's word. Say God's will. Say what God says. Say what God says. I remember 1994, we used to have this outreach to prostitutes. So we went out, we got this, I got her born again personally, and we pay for services, amen, Shandai. And we go into the rooms and we preach. Well, my leader then, Frank Akilapa, taught us to do that.
So we went in, and this lady, she's been a apostle for many years, but when I met her, she was in her late 30s. And so, middle 30s. And so, they said, what do we do? Now, I had seen something done by another ministry. When they get prostitutes born again like that, they now have prostitutes, so and so ministries. And so, those folks never came out of that impression. So I told my leader, I said, sir, we won't do that. This lady is a new creation in Christ. We're not going to introduce her to any church as a prostitute now born again. The prostitute part of her will remain between us forever. That's why I've never disclosed her name. She rose to become the deputy chief usher of the church because nobody knew anything. I just said that the new creature in Christ, and she stayed in there. Which means that as long as she put what God said on our lips, to the friend of mine who passed on Unilag in the 90s, I said to him, they got people born again from the calls. So they had a ministry for calls who had just gotten born again. I said, these guys will eventually return to those calls. And that happened. Just a few stayed. Because you have not changed what they are saying. You know, I said, you don't say they are former cult boys. They are new creatures in Christ. They are sons of God now. Let them say that. Oh, what if there's no what is? In the new part, there's no what is. You are God's perfect creation. I said, well, what if they now? No, there's no what is. Hallelujah. When Ananias got to the house of Saul, he said, brother Saul. That's what he said. When he told Jesus, this man has persecuted your church, Jesus said, go away. I've chosen him. He got his brother Saul. That's why Paul could say, I have wronged no man. What did you say? You wrong waiting? You know, if there was no book of Acts, you just heard from Romans, you won't laugh now. The reason why you are laughing is because you have history. Do you not know people's history? Hallelujah. So we don't know man. Imagine Peter after cursing and swearing. I don't know Jesus. I mean Jesus. I'm a Muslim. He swore. And the cock said, Peter. When Jesus said to me, he said, go and tell your brethren and Peter. When Peter finished with Jesus, he stood up among the 11. He told the same Peter. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than this? He said, feed my sheep. That's what he told him. On the day of Pentecost, Peter should have come out. On a, what do you call this thing? What is this program that people sell their life history? This program? Eh? Christians. Turning points. And I said, what meant this? Are these people drunk? What's going on? Men and brethren, men of Judea, hear my words, even though I'm not worthy. You all know me. I deny Jesus Christ. You know, Peter's denial is not written anywhere again. You put what God says about you. After he denied Jesus, Jesus said, you are my witness. That's what you are. After he had denied Jesus, he says, you are my witness. That's what he said. So who are you? I'm his witness. Material. I bear his mark. I bear his being. I told my friend, I said, you don't need to do this. I know people ministry celebrate this. We're now in university as well. They got a lot of people born again from the cults. And they said, this, come and tell, see this cult, this new Buccaneer boys. Okay? And they're all coming out. Hallelujah. I said, watch all of them. I told my friend, I said, watch all of them. Each of them, they'll go back to the world. This is a wrong way of telling them who they were. And all of them did. They are not cult boys. They are God boys. Hallelujah. They are God's sons. Let them say that from the first day. Glory to God. Self-pity has never changed anybody. It's God's word that changes people. Change what you say. Say the right thing. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Look at Mark 5. Learning something? Are you learning something? Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. There was a woman with issue of blood. We are not such, but look at what things she did. The Bible says in Mark 5,
that she heard of Jesus, 27, came in behind. Of course, she was sick, 25 to 26, for 12 years. Okay, 12 years. No, 12 years is a long time. She must have seen many doctors, including student doctors. She must have seen 300, 400 level students, or 500 level students. And then the consultant will have come. You see, this issue has been here for 8 years. It's called thrombosis onilima. The way it is right now is incurable, but we are managing the case. And the kind of case manager, what kind of case management is this, sir? Well, the management is such that, you know, we just have to see whether she can live longer than 5 years, you know. And she's hearing all those things. You know, we'll try to, every morning we'll administer so and so. Okay, is there need for surgery? Even if it's 60 surgeries, she's going to be the same, you know. You know, consultant can talk that way. They'll say, okay, sir, and they're writing your history. Woman is part of the exam. So she must have given up. But she heard of Jesus. She heard. You know, hear me. There are different things people have said about Jesus. Some have called him a bastard. Others a false prophet. But she heard the right things. Learn to hear the right things. Learn to hear the right things. Learn to hear the right things. If you touch his clothes 1 million times, alright, and it's not a touch of faith, you can't be healed. And she heard of Jesus. What did she hear? Did she hear he was a false prophet? No. She gave attention to who he was. Then she said, if I touch the hem of his clothes, I will be whole. Then she touched. Immediately the Bible says the fount of her blood was seized. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? The disciples were saying, what's wrong with this emoji? Touch you? Can't you see the crowd? Or guy, you're an HOD. Who taught you to know? What do you mean by that? Except for virtue had come out of him. None was. He knew someone was healed. Then the woman came and told all that had happened. Everything. Everything. In other words, Jesus needed her to say it. Then she must have said, when I heard about your healing ministry, in my kitchen I kept saying, he's a healer. When I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. When I was driving, I was saying. When I went for the doctor's appointment, I kept saying it. When I came out and took my drugs, I was saying it. When I was walking, the pain was there, I was saying it. And she was saying, she's saying it. And she did it, and she was healed. Remember one meeting we had? I wasn't planning to pray for the sick. I just planned to teach and leave. My lady kept saying that he's going to lay hands on me. A half of her body had paralysis. She's going to lay hands on me, I'll be healed. I wasn't going to lay hands. I said I wasn't going to lay hands. I was telling me not to lay hands. I said, I wasn't going to lay hands. I was telling me not to lay hands on anybody. And I did not lay hands on anybody. But as I was preaching, I put my hands, I said, you know, the power of God is everywhere, it's everywhere. You don't have anybody lay hands on you, the power of God is everywhere. So I put my hands on her and I said, you know, the power of God is here, it's everywhere, everywhere. That's how she got healed. She said, I got healed. I said, seriously speaking? I wasn't saying, no, I just laid hands. I laid hands as an example. But she took the example. For she said, before you go to church, say it's going to be a great service. The word of God will be taught. The Spirit of God will have a free course. Praise God. Christ will be explained. I will be edified. And this will cause me to grow. Say it. Don't allow the service to determine itself. Put the word of God on your lips. For she said. Notice, it was important she said what she did. Jesus said, go, your faith has made you whole. Your words have made you whole. Then don't forget, it was Jairus' house who was going to. Jairus' daughter was sick. As soon as the woman got healed, Jesus' assistant pastors now said, senior pastor, let's turn back. Say, why are you turning back? Say, call Christ. No. Jairus J. Or Jairus S. has died. As they said that he troubled not the master, Jesus talked to Jairus. He said, do not fear, only believe. Why did he say that? He knew what would go on in his heart. Sickness, now death. It becomes more impossible. He goes to the house where the daughter was already lying dead. And everybody was crying, the professional Monarch International Club.
And this man complained about this girl. It's true. I remember when she was small. I was the one that took her to say, ah! That's what they are called to do. Then Jesus says, she's only sleeping. And they swish like a miracle. From tears to laughter. Remember a lady like that? And then there's a woman who went for the wake keep of her friend who died. So she was weeping. Oh, so they were sharing soft drinks. Don't give me the Fanta, give me the Coke. Don't go back, you think? Don't allow people's emotions to turn you to a bag of emotions. Put the word of God on your lips. And so Jesus saw those guys. He knew they considered potential problem. You know what he did? He took all of them out. He drove them out of the room. Always take out doubt and unbelief from around you. He did that. And the girl woke up. And God was glorified. Faith is expressed in words. Watch this. Dishonor is expressed in words. When Jesus got to his hometown, they said, is this not the son of Joseph? Are his sisters not with us? Mark 6, 2 and 3. And he says to them, wow. He marveled at their unbelief. A prophet is not without honor, except in his own household among his own people. And he could do no mighty work. So watch what you say. Honor is in word. Dishonor is in word. Jesus did not marvel at what they thought. He marveled at what they said. Kill dishonor in your heart by the things that you say. Dishonor is what will make, pay good attention here, Jairus' daughter to be raised from the dead in chapter 5. And the woman with the issue of blood to be healed in chapter 5. And there was no miracle in Jesus' hometown in chapter 6. Same power but different crowd. Dishonor, we saw two people use their words and receive the power of God. We saw a whole community. Why? Dishonor is also in words. It's in words. And you may never know who God's power will flow through. Yes, but we had this meeting in 1996. We call it the anointing and his anointings. And then a brother came up. He had been coming for our meetings 2 years before. And then he stopped coming. Something happened. I don't want to go into details. So he had this childhood, what you can call congenital disease. And he's been there since he was a child. And he had gone for all sorts of, medical help. Didn't get any. And before he came for that meeting, myself and himself and some other guys, we had this fallout and we were, having ministerial fights, as you call it. That was years back. So he came, I taught. Then I gave a word of knowledge and I laid hands on him. And then he came back and checked himself and all that and the growth left. And then he said he couldn't have imagined that it's a meeting of someone that he had broken ties with, that's where he would get healed. Really, it's interesting how the things we say mean so much and we don't know they do. You must put honor on your lips all the time. I've seen wives of healing ministers die of sicknesses that get healed through their ministries. Sometimes it's dishonor. It's because they don't see those men in their offices. So at home, in the bedroom, they say wrong things. And when they say those wrong things, they think, well, God will use someone else. Well, you can't choose that. You can't determine that. You can only determine what you say. So always say the right things. Don't forget, you will have what you say. Your word gives direction to the power of God. If you call a healing minister an idiot, idiots don't heal the sick. If you call a healing minister, get out of here, your healing just left. God's direction just left. God's mind. Now, the person can be around you, but he has left because of the things you said. You must say the right things. Put the word of God on your lips. You have what you say. You have what you say. Not just in church. At the restroom. You have what you say in the restroom. You have what you say at the car park. In the book of Acts, words ran through. Word from the mouth of Peter. In Acts 3, the man at the beautiful gate, the man was crippled from birth. He said, looking up to them for house, and Peter said, silver and gold have we none, such as I have, I give you. Why does he have to save? Because God's power is transmitted by words. And straight away the man got healed. Acts 4, Acts 5, Acts 6, go to Acts 9, 35, Acts 14, 9. Peter said, I mean, Jesus Christ makes you well. Why does he say it? And he has need to hear it. Acts 14, 9. Paul said, get up on your feet straight and be healed. Why do they have to say it? Because God's power is transmitted by words. Don't forget, preaching is in words. Why is preaching in words? Because words carry God's power in God's will. You must use your words well. If preaching can bring salvation to the heart of a man, because you said the right thing, how much more give direction to God's power in our lives? What happened in Asia, Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word, not the thoughts of God, the word of God, and prevailed. In Colossians 3:17, Paul says, whatever you do, in words or in deed, do all to the glory of God. In words. James talks about, you know, putting the control over what you say. So when you control your mouth, you build your own body. In other words, you don't have a habit problem, you have a word habit problem. There is no sinful habit of a believer. A believer can only have a godly habit. He breaks a sinful habit by putting on the word habit by always speaking God's word. What of saying that I am not yielding to sexual lusts? I'm not yielding to sexual thoughts. I'm not yielding to sexual desires. I'm not yielding to covetousness. I'm not yielding. I don't yield to anger because I'm born of God. Don't say I can get angry at anything. I know myself. No, you don't know yourself yet. If you know yourself, you know that those are Christ. I've crucified the flesh and the lust and affections thereof. You live in the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is yourself. Put the word on your lips. Put the word on your lips. Your word can either edify or destroy. 2 Corinthians 13:9. So I bring these words not to your destruction. 13:10. But to your edification. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine when excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Colossians 3:15-16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart. The other one says singing and making melody in your heart. Hebrews 13. Put the word on your lips. Why did Paul write letters? He wrote letters, and those letters had a lot of information and identification, so that you can put those things on your lips. When I say you are blessed, that's what you should say about yourself. If Paul says you are a new creature in Christ, it means when you introduce yourself, what do you say? I'm a new creature in Christ. See, God put words so that we can have what to say. See, Brother Hagin said, epistles are living letters. The epistle is God's word speaking to me. So I now take God's word on my lips, and when I say it's God's word, God now speaking through me. When I put the word of God on my lips, it's now God speaking to me. I'm in tests and trials. I say, well, I count it all joy. That's what I say. That's what I say. Cast down but not forsaken. So we have this excellency of God, or this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellencies of God. Not of men. I've got a treasure in me. God's power is working in me. You know, you say all of that. You put the word on your lips. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. He says, let your conversation be without confession. That's your behavior. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now say that to yourself. 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 He said, verse 6, so that we may boldly say. God said so that you can say. He has said so that we might boldly say. He said so that you can say. Thank God for preaching. But thank God for speaking. Speak to yourself. Sometimes you shut the door. I do that often. Just shut the door and speak to yourself. Speak to yourself God's word. Over and over and over and over. Hear me. If what is on your heart is more of what people say to you than what God says about you, you can't walk in victory. People will always change. What people will say and see about you will always change. But there are unchangeable facts of God's word about you. You put that on your lips all the time. Hebrews 13:15. Let us, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name or confessing his name. Put the word on your lips. Say it all the time. Saying God's word honors God. It always honors God. It honors God to put his word on your lips all the time. It honors him. You honor him. I love the song, I exalt your holy name. I exalt his name above men's names. I exalt his name above sickness and disease. I exalt his name above emotional trouble and trauma. I say his name is higher. His walk is higher. Exalt his name higher. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. Attend to my, what does it mean attend to my words? That word attend means to put it first place. It's like you're going to the bank and the bank closes by 4 and it's a Friday and the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday are public holidays and there's no ATM machine working. You have no mobile app to transfer money. You can only get money in the bank. You meet an old friend you haven't seen for 18 years and you meet him at the car park of the bank and it's 4:02. You say, you say, oh Lord, yeah. Right? You are greeting him, but you are moving. Oh my God. Listen, listen. Your number. You go inside the bank. Why? You have put the bank first place. We're not denying the facts. We're only putting the word first place. Hallelujah. We're attending to the word. Attend to the word. Put the word first place. It honors God. 2, it gives direction to God's power. Just like we have read, when we preach, that's what we're doing. To save, to heal, to comfort, to encourage, to edify, to give direction. Hear me. Don't wait for people to encourage you. Put the word of God on your lips. Without boasting, I thank God. I learned that early in life. Speak God's word on your heart. I once had a church that I was the only member remaining. Almost 20 years now. The only member left. I prayed. And I was walking on the road. Imagine after that man said, your ministry will not be received. That was what happened after all. So I was walking on Igwe Road. And I said, he is Jesus who won my heart to say. Here is Jesus who gave me life to live. Here is Jesus who saved me from sin. Here is Jesus, the way that is why. Speak a sound. Speak a sound. Sorry, it is well. I dropped the phone. Didn't I tell you? You don't know what people say when they drop the phone. But you know what God says. You know what God says. Put it on your lips. Say it. Say it to yourself. all over again and again and again. One day I just finished preaching. It was one of our meetings. Some years back, that's about 18 years now. And I just stood on the pulpit speaking to myself. I see the fire of God's Spirit burning in my heart. I'm speaking a song. I see the fire. It's still burning. You say that when you have no audience. You say that when some folks said terrible things about our ministry in the 90s. I had just two members, two and a half. My brother was one of them. There was a day no one was in the service and I kept preaching. Do you hear what I said? There was nobody there. I knew one day that was going to happen. Hallelujah. Put the word on your lips. You cannot be defeated. So you shouldn't quit. There's no quitting in this family. We stay there. We have enduring power. We are staying power. So God's word gives direction to us. Never say you are confused. Never say, well, everything has scattered. Nothing has scattered. You are all together. You are all together. Isaiah 26 and 3. He gives a perfect peace to those who mind and say on him, for you trust in him. Tell perfect peace. I'm all together. Say, I'm all together. My mind is not scattered. I'm all together. I'm not confused. Sin has no power over you. Reckon yourself in peace. How far can I lie to? Reckon yourself in peace. Dead to sin and alive unto God. Take account of that. Reckon yourself indeed. Reckon yourself indeed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Put the word on your lips. Put it on your body. Look at the temptation of Jesus. Satan spoke and he spoke. Three occasions. You don't overcome temptation by thoughts. Thoughts? He said, put the word on your lips. And say it. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive unto God. I obey God naturally. I'm not a disobedient church member. I walk in obedience. I walk in honor. I respond to instructions. No, I'm not a rebel. I can't be a rebel because I'm one of God. If God came to this earth and he was a servant, I am a servant too. I have a servant's heart. I'm a son of God that has the Spirit of God in his heart. I'm a good shepherd. I'm a good pastor. I have the interest of the flock at heart. Just like Jesus, I laid down my all for the flock. Even when you are still struggling, as it were, with pastoring, say that. Put God's word on your lips. Refuse to be defeated. Today, as you leave this service, go and do something. Write out the in Christ realities. Listen to the first service. I said to them about that. Write them out and say them. Don't just mutter them like a mechanical thing. Say them. I told someone earlier today, I said, what the Holy Spirit does is in Revelation now, probably teach that next week. You now see what is in the Word. You now see yourself. He begins to give you pictures of what you see written in the Word in your life. You begin to see that in your mind. And you see what the Word says in your reality. In your reality. I brought this mantra. I cannot be defeated. And I'll never quit. I cannot be defeated. And I'll never quit. Because I'm born of God. God's Spirit walks in me. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues. Speak in other tongues.